Hi everyone, welcome to the 5 p.m. call. This is our first Module 10 call. We're at the business end of things. Really excited for this call. I think this is going to be kind of fun. We're going to be doing some reflecting and creating some stuff for you over the course of this call. So have a pen and paper handy. So module 10 is all about coaching with the client's goals and dreams. It is, as you'll probably recognize, you could start here, right? So we're kind of doing a full circle. So what we're going to talk about tonight is just the aims of this module, like why we're approaching this topic in the way that we are, and how to work with clients around this. We're going to talk a lot about courage-based goals, plans, and action today, and we're going to set you up to create this for yourself so that as you're working with clients, you have firsthand experience of what this is like. And in our second call next week, we're going to be diving into sort of the change cycle and also kind of bringing the program together. So next week is going to be a real Q&A type session. You can bring your questions about how to work with folks. I'm going to lead you through a process for how to structure your own self-belief coaching package, just so you can kind of see how this might work, give you lots of options so you can see how this can work with your specific group of clients. And then the call after that is all about certification and coach match and all things to do with taking the curriculum one step further. So we're going to set you up with some homework tonight as well, which will lead into next week. Okay. So I just wanted to kind of introduce this idea of courage-based goals, courage-based planning, courage-based action. Why this is the approach I take and how I develop this way of working with clients. So what I found very early on as I started working with folks with self-doubt is that people tended to have one or two types of responses to goals and dreams, to their own goals and dreams. One is that they just didn't know what they wanted. So you'd say to a client, well, where do you want to be? What are we here to do? What is it that you're wanting? And they'd say things like, I don't know, I just don't want this. Right? My life doesn't feel as fulfilling as I think it should. I'm stuck in these ways. I don't know what I do want. I just know what I don't want, and it's this. And so people would have this kind of problematic relationship or a slightly disjointed relationship with their own goals and dreams. Often they hadn't really allowed themselves to dream of what they wanted for themselves because the energy that it takes to kind of live life when you're riddled with self-doubt and where it's holding you back all the time was taking up so much of your energy. So clients would either not know what they wanted, or they couldn't or didn't have a relationship with their own goals and dreams, or they had a really difficult relationship with goals and dreams because they were telling themselves a lot of stories about how they kept quitting on themselves. So I'd work with clients who had, really quite clear dreams of going for a promotion or finding a loving partnership or setting up a business, these kinds of things. And even when those goals really mattered to them, and some of them were not necessarily like big life-changing goals, they wanted to spend more time creating or set up a morning routine, right? Like these kind of more sort of habit-forming type goals. What would happen is that at the first challenge, the first time they got challenged, the first time they came across an obstacle, or the first time that their self-doubt inevitably showed up, when they just didn't feel like it that day, they would stop. They would just quit. Say, oh, well, clearly I'm not meant to do this. I'm not very good at this. I always stop. Right. So my approach to planning and human motivation and goal setting has radically changed as a result of all the clients that I've worked with who face kind of one of these two areas, and obviously all across the spectrum in between. Now, I should say as well that before I retrained as a coach, I worked as a management consultant, and I was working on big, risky projects where we often had an entire team who were dedicated to keeping the Gantt chart, like the project plan, representing reality, which it never did, except on the day it was created. Because linear plans, right, this happens and then this happens and then this happens, never reflect reality. So I kind of knew like that traditional way of creating a plan where you just write it, it's almost like a task list with some time frames attached to it, was never going to really work for clients with self-doubt. So it's really forced me to kind of go, okay, what can work, right? Because our clients are not going to change fundamentally who they are. So the process has to support who they are. Process has to support who we are as humans. And so what we've ended up with is this approach, right? Where we accept from the start that there is no ideal, right, or linear process to achieving a goal. Like, let's just park that fantasy right at the start, right? And so as self-belief coaches, we just accept there is no straight line. So let's let that go. And often the kinds of goals or dreams that we're bringing to life, that our clients are bringing to life, are things that haven't been attempted before in the conditions that we're in our very specific conditions. So we don't know how it's going to go. So there is no right way to do it. It's just the way that you're doing it. Right? And so part of this is about helping our clients and ourselves feel resourced when setbacks and challenges and self-doubt inevitably arise. Like, we just accept that is going to happen, right? Because as soon as we start taking action that has some risk attached to it, and we have some sensitivity to that risk, self-doubt's going to come up. We're going to be faced with a ton of protective beliefs, with a ton of behaviors that are all about distracting us from taking action. We're going to be faced with all of our self-doubt. So let's build that in, right? Let's accept that's going to happen and let's build that in. Then we get to normalize it for ourselves and for our clients. Okay. Now, the kind of mainstream way of setting goals and achieving them is that you start with where you are, the before photo. And if you've ever worked with a personal trainer, you'll kind of know what I'm talking about here. You start with where you are, and then you have like a where you're going to, and then you kind of beat yourself into submission all along the way until you maybe get there or you quit. So the process of bringing your dreams and goals to life teaches you nothing except it's full of suffering, it's full of shame and guilt and doubt, right? It's never an enjoyable experience when the way that we get to bring our dreams and goals to life is all about kind of faking it until you make it, white knuckling it through. So the way that we work with our clients is much more about who we are becoming along the way, right? That the purpose of achieving a goal is greater than the goal itself. It's actually about the expansion of our self-concept, right? You might be the kind of person who is able to write a book. Who do you become in that process, right? You become a writer. Maybe you're a coach who has a thriving and sustainable practice. Who do you need to become to have that, right? How does your self-concept grow and expand in order for you to have that practice? So how we do the goal needs to also reflect who we want to be at the end, right? It's like we're learning how to be that person. In which case, there isn't any room for that kind of suffering and beating yourself up. Like, that just can't be sustained. No wonder we all quit, right? So this is a really compassionate way of bringing our dreams and goals to life. And I've shared this process with individuals, with big groups. I ran a planning session for business owners at like Christmas time, planned for the year ahead. And it was amazing to me what ended up getting created, because suddenly when your clients start to see, oh, self-doubt comes up or it doesn't feel great, that doesn't mean it's anything's gone wrong. It just means you're doing something courageous, right? So this entire process is built for clients with self-doubt. So what that means is that our approach to goals, plans, and action to do with our clients' dreams makes room for emotions. It makes room for self-doubt. We just expect all of that to come up. We allow for unexpected brilliant ideas, because you're going to get inspired along the way. And sometimes that's going to be connected to another goal, right? It provides supportive accountability. So what I mean by that is that when our clients or we don't do the thing that we say we're going to do, it's a huge opportunity to explore the protective belief that's under that. Every time we procrastinate rather than do the thing that feels a bit scary, if we take that experience and explore it and pull it apart, we get to learn something about ourselves, about our fears and doubts and worries and anxieties. And we get the opportunity to decide how we're going to do this. Sometimes it's like, oh, the task, the action that we were taking is just too big. It needs to be broken down, right? It needs to be broken down into maybe four or five little mini steps. Maybe we're just doing that thing too early. But supportive accountability gives us an opportunity to explore why we didn't do the thing that we said we were going to do. So instead of that kind of being shoved aside and wrapped up in some shame and some guilt and, oh God, let's just move on. I suddenly don't want this dream anymore, right? Because it got hard. We get to actually say, I'm not doing the thing that I said I was going to do. What's happening for me? Where am I going with this, right? And this is how you become the person that can have the dream or the goal that you have set for yourself. It also means that you've got this huge record then of progress and lessons, right? You get to see, oh, look, this is what does work for me, right? That actually, if I break down a goal, a task that I have a ton of resistance in, if I break that down into five mini steps, suddenly it's doable. What an amazing resource to have in the back of your mind. It means that as you are coming across the next setback or the next challenge or the next time self-doubt strikes, you've got some tools in your back pocket for what to do next. Okay. It also needs to be led by our sovereign, right? Our heartfelt vision and values and intentions, right? So our sovereign, our self-belief is the part of the healthy self that sets the goal, decides on the goal. And we always know that because we'll be able to access the, you know, why it matters. We'll be able to hook it into what's going on for us. It means that because some of us and some clients with self-doubt, we'll get halfway towards a goal and then go, shit, this is actually what my dad wanted me to do, right? Or this is something that my sister wanted but never got to do, and I'm sort of doing it on her behalf. Or I couldn't choose, so I outsourced that decision, and now I'm halfway doing this thing and I don't even want to do it anymore, right? So being able to tie this into your sovereign, into your self-belief, it helps helps us and helps our client to know this is actually what we want and we're going to do it our way, right? And the most important thing is that our approach has to account for very changeable levels of courage, right? So on any given day, you're going to have a different level of courage to do what might be on the plan. And so if you are just like, oh, I just cannot face that today, you need to be able to give yourself some options so that you can still keep going, right? You can still maintain some momentum. But you're taking into account the fact that actually you're just not quite there with the courage yet. until one day you are, and then you do the thing. And you have some strategies for how to build that courage up. So this whole approach, which you'll see, is this kind of three-stage approach of really developing a goal that it comes from your self-belief, comes from your sovereign self, creating a plan that takes into account your entire humanness, right, including when you don't fancy it, when self-doubt feels high, when you come across setbacks and challenges, and being able to take action even though. Right, even though it doesn't feel great today, it means that the chances of that dream or goal coming to life is almost inevitable. It's probably going to take longer, right? Because I know us coaches are pretty optimistic about how long things are going to take. And our clients are often pessimistic, right? So it usually comes somewhere in the mix. But it means that when we use this kind of approach, doing this is inevitable. It's the only reason why it wouldn't happen is if the client decides to quit. And there are endless reasons not to do that because we're giving them the strategies to feel resourced to keep going. So over the years, this for me, this courage-based approach has been the thing that I think has really helped my clients to see that they can literally do what they want to do. They can have what they want to have. Sometimes it's going to take longer. It almost always looks slightly different to what it did at the start. But who they become along the way changes and grows and expands and allows them to see what's possible. It's a super fun process to work with clients on. What we want to do today is help you to see how you can do this for yourself. I really want you to have some first-hand experience of working with your own courage-based goals. And the reason for that is that, the reason for that is that this always sounds good in theory, right? It's like the day that you create the big fancy plan always feels good, right? It's like, yeah, it's totally doable. I'm doing it. And that's usually because we don't really look at anything that doesn't feel great. So I want to give you the experience of doing this, of setting a goal for yourself using this process so that you can really start to stir up your own self-doubt and play with that. And see that there you now have so many resources to draw on as you bring something that is important to you to life. Okay. Feeling good about that? Okay. I can't tell. Okay. So what we're going to do today is create a goal for you. We're going to go through that process together. And while we're doing that, I'm just going to give you some kind of tips and some things to think about as you're doing this with clients. So it'll be a sort of a dual process. And then we'll set you up so that you can take away some homework to create your own plan and then get coached on the obstacles and setbacks that will inevitably come up. Okay. So pens at the ready. What I want you to do is just take a few moments to write down some things that you actually want, right? These could be goals, intentions, dreams. It could be something to do with your coaching practice or your coaching business. It could be a little bit vague or it might be quite specific. So it could be, I want to create a sustainable coaching practice, or it could be, I want to make £50,000 in my coaching practice in the next 12 months. Right. I want to bring on 2 clients a month for the next 6 months. It could be something else, right? It could be about meeting a partner or developing a habit that you know would really support you. So just give some thought to, what you might have, creative goals, anything that feels good to you. Write down a few things that you just think, you know what, this is in the back of my mind. It's something that I want. You don't need to know how right now. And when you're ready, just choose one of those intentions, goals, dreams. Just choose one of them that you want to work on today. It might be the thing that feels the most possible. It might be the thing that feels the biggest and most impossible. It really doesn't matter. You can invite your healthy self to choose whatever goal feels good to you. And just write down for yourself, my goal intention is, my dream or my goal, my intention is what? Just write that down for yourself. Remember, it can be as specific or as vague as you want. You can always come back and rework this once we move through the process. If you just want to get a direction of travel right now, as specific as feels good to you. Okay, once you've written down your dream or your goal, also answer, this matters to me now because. Now, the reason could be really obvious to you. It could be because I just want to go through this process on the call, right? It could be because I'm so sick of hearing myself talk about one day I'll do this. All right, it doesn't have to be super positive. There's no prize for that, but just tell yourself the truth. Like, why does this matter to you right now? Okay, next prompt is, when I arrive at this dream, like when I achieve the goal, I believe the top three feelings I will feel are what? And again, tell yourself the truth. It may be actually I'll feel some relief, like finally that's done. It may be that you'll feel a little bit anxious or worried, like I don't even know who I'll be when I get there. Right? It doesn't have to be super positive. Just acknowledge for yourself, what are the top three feelings you imagine achieving this will bring up for you? Yeah. Next prompt is, when you think about your dream or your goal, what does your protective self-doubt say? What has your protector got to say about this? It may sound irrational or disproportionate. may not be something you want to hear, but just acknowledge that part of you. Okay, and then you want to also acknowledge, what does your healthy self have to say about this? Right, so this part of you that accesses self-belief, self-trust, self-acceptance, self-worth, what does that part have to say about this dream or goal that you have for yourself? So just a couple of notes, a couple of sort of tips as you're working through this with clients. That first line, this matters to me now because of the feelings that I believe I'll feel. Just notice your clients are probably going to overthink this, right? They're going to want to get this completely right. They may tell you about Simon Sinek's TED talk about finding your why, right? So it's okay for clients to want to have a really bloody good reason why they do it. But notice the phrasing is just, this matters to me now because. Right, so you don't have to have this big grand reason. You can just want the thing. And I think just normalizing that, like you're just allowed to want what you want. Normalizing that for our clients can be quite liberating. It may be the first time that they've acknowledged that this is something that they actually want. So we just want to keep it, you know, as underthought as possible. It's a good enough reason to just want it. And just the other thing to notice is that when you're doing this with a client, which it'll be a conversation rather than a sort of reflection process as we're doing now, what you'll probably notice when you ask about their protective self-doubt and their healthy self is that you can almost hear that those two parts of the client are having a conversation, even a kind of hustle, right? So that they might say something like, oh, well, you know, that part of me that really wants this, that knows I can do it, is saying that this is entirely possible for me, right? Of course I can do this. This is something I've been dreaming about for ages, and I already can visualize myself doing it, but I still don't know if I can. And oh, what if this happens, right? And so they'll kind of go off on a little tangent that you can clearly see is here is the protector coming up and saying, whoa, don't get ahead of yourself. So what I like to do when I'm doing this with clients is actually kind of document both sides of this internal conflict on a whiteboard so the client can see, oh, this is what my healthy self is saying and this is what my protector is saying. Okay. So you can kind of like just draw a line down the middle and write down, this is what I'm hearing your protector say, right? This sounds like self-doubt, right? And this sounds like your healthy self. What you're actually teaching the client is to try and separate those two key voices, right? There may be other parts involved, right? And you can kind of probe for that. You know, you may hear something that you think, does that belong to the client or is that maybe their mother's voice? And you can just ask, does that voice belong to you or does it remind you of someone? Right, and then you know you've also got an additional part here, which is the client's mother is getting involved in their mind, right? Or their partner or their kids or whoever. Okay. But the idea is that you're starting to help the client see that they actually have a dialogue that's going on inside of them. And the reason that it can feel like an inner conflict is because there are these two parts that are vying for their attention. And maybe someone else's imagined voice as well. What the aim of this, or the reason we do this, is because we don't buy into that binary absolute, that if it's not a hell yes, it's a no, right? We know if it's not a hell yes, it may be that you have a bit of self-doubt, that you're a complex, nuanced human, that you have some discernment going on. Right? Maybe you've got some past stuff that this is reminding you of. None of it's a reason to quit before you've started. So just normalizing that it is totally okay to feel some doubt while you're trying something new that really matters to you. Of course that would, when else is it going to come up, right, than in that moment? So we want to normalize that for the client as much as possible. Like they don't have to be the good client with no self-doubt when they're talking about their dreams and goals. You know, and remember, we're all socialized to think we have to want it enough. You know, sometimes you're like, I kind of want it, but I really don't know what's going to happen. So I'm kind of tentatively wanting it. And as far as I'm concerned, that is a perfect start point. You can work with that. That makes sense for doing this with clients. You may even be experiencing some of these things yourself, right? So whatever helps, take it. Okay. So our next prompt is, when I arrive at this dream, I believe my life will be the same in the following ways. But what's not going to change? What's the constant that will be with you whether you achieve this goal? This is a great question to ask because some clients and us will have a sort of fantasy, right? That everything's going to be different when I achieve this, right? It's a great one for any client who believes in the cabin in the woods fantasy or the move to Bali and start a yoga practice fantasy or something of that nature, right? Where it's like, I'm just going to burn my life down and start afresh somewhere new. And everything will be different, right? That a lot of clients will have that kind of dream or goal that's really all about denying who they are. And what we want to suggest is wherever you go, you take yourself with you. And as someone who's moved countries across the world 4 times in an effort to do just that, I can tell you that it doesn't work. There's no such thing as a fresh start. Right. And you can save yourself just a heck of a lot of money by starting again today where you are. But just acknowledging what will be the same is also really great for a client who might feel like there is a lot at stake if they don't achieve this or if they fail. Right. If I don't get this promotion, everything is riding on it. When actually, well, you'll still have your partner, you'll still have your kids, your home, your life, you, right? So you start to kind of add some perspective and self-trust in here. Okay, last prompt. When I arrive at this dream, I believe my life will have expanded in the following ways. If you achieve this dream, what will have expanded in you? What does this do to your self-concept, your identity? You may not know, but you can imagine. Okay, so when you've jotted down that last reflection, just read back over what you've written. Underline any words that feel important to you. And just let yourself take in what you've documented for yourself. And so what we're going to do now is just go around the circle and everyone's just going to share their dream, their goal, and allow us to witness you in that. And if any of you feel like you want to throw up right now, that's totally normal, right? It's okay. It's okay. But it means that you just get to kind of give this a little bit of more energy. It's now moved from your imagination and your brain onto a piece of paper, and now you're going to say the words out loud. So if this is something that's new to you, you're just very slowly giving this a little bit of energy, okay? So we're going to start with Kate, because you're at the top of my little circle. Kate, do you want to share your dream, your intention, goal?
Yes, so mine is to have a successful coaching business that's profitable and joyful. And that matters to me now because I've been trying to do this for nearly a couple of years now, and lots of blocks have come in the way, and I've used that as perfect excuses not to do it. So I need, it matters because I want to prove to myself that I can do it. And I guess it gives me my purpose as well.
I love that. I'm curious to know, Kate, like when you think about doing this, like how does it feel to you?
It feels it's that tightrope of excited and anxious, that kind of that real fear feeling, but that excited fear feeling.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, like, does it feel kind of like a little seed in the ground, or does it feel a little bit more established for you? Just as you, as I hear you say it, you're like quite clear about what you want.
Yeah, and it feels quite established. It feels like it's all just there. It feels like the garden's there. It's kind of sprouting at different rates, but no one's allowed in. There's just a fence around it.
Yeah.
So it just feels like it needs to be there.
Love it. Love it. How does it feel to say it out loud in front of all of us?
It feels good. It kind of feels like it could be possible.
So we just want to celebrate you with the Zoom applause. This is how you do Zoom applause.
Thank you.
Amazing, Kate. It's a brilliant dream. Yeah, we're holding that for you. It's fab. Thank you. Okay, Steph, can you share your dream or goal with us, please?
Sure. Along the same lines as Kate, my goal is to hit 150K in my coaching practice next year. And it's funny thinking about it when you just said, how does that make you feel? I was kind of like, actually just feel really frustrated. I haven't done it yet. Like it's almost, I know it's a big goal and I will be really proud of it. And it's also kind of embarrassing that I haven't hit it yet. So I've that conflict.
That's an interesting emotion to have, right? Embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a sense of where that comes from?
I mean, not really. I mean, that would be, if I look back at my family and everything, like that would be a huge accomplishment. No one has any expectations on me except me, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering even if it is, and it may not be, you may have nailed it with embarrassment. I'm wondering if it's actually impatience.
Yeah, yeah, that probably makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And so part of this process, right, is taking into account that there is a part of you, right, that is a bit impatient, a bit embarrassed,
mm-hmm.
who wants this. And, like, can you hold those parts with a little bit of compassion? Is kind of the invitation from the goal, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I know why I haven't hit it yet, because every time I get close to it, I'm like, no, I don't want to do it this way. And then back down. It doesn't feel aligned. It's not like I'm working too hard or in a way that I don't like. So I know why I haven't hit it and I'm happy with the reasons. Like, it's just like, oh, okay, come on. So.
Awesome. All right. Thanks for sharing, Steph. We're Zoom applauding you. Wow. You're next. Oh, you're muted, love. Sorry. I think I just muted you again. I'm so sorry. Hang on.
Very good.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Sorry.
My goal is to support 50 women in their 50s to successfully start their business in the next 12 months.
Woohoo! That sounds very cool. How do you feel about saying that out loud?
I was going to say a far bigger number of women, but yeah, that's my. That's the least women that I want to launch in the world.
Yeah. So you've gone for something that feels what? Manageable, doable?
It feels very doable, and a bit like Steph was saying, sort of impatience. Yeah, it feels very doable. I like the conversation, my protective self and healthy self, because the healthy self seemed far more rational to me than the protective self.
Yeah, amazing. Lucky, lucky woman. Yeah. We're celebrating you, Sal. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Okay. Bronhild, can you share your goal with us, please?
Yes. Okay. Sorry, I'm in a stranger configuration. Okay. So my goal is to moved to Costa Rica and buy a house there. And it's been my goal for a lot of years, but I never really act on it. So saying it out loud, it's a bit, I feel at the same time, it's really possible. And on the other hand, I feel a bit foolish. I feel like it's like tied to, like there is, what I can see is that this dream, behind this dream, there are a lot of things that must be, that in my head must be in place so I can do it.
Right.
So it's...
So you're already going to the how.
Yeah, exactly.
And the why not. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's also a lot of impatience. And it's very interesting to witness that my self-doubt is using that goal as an excuse to get me back to a lot of judgment on myself. Why am I not there yet? Or why? It will never happen. You cannot do it. And so this is also, I think, why I like this dream. Because it allows me to witness many things.
Right, yeah. And I would offer that for all of you just sharing these things, there are probably good reasons why this dream hasn't come to fruition yet.
Yeah.
Right, and so part of this is about exploring that.
Yes.
And being able to hold that with some compassion rather than judgment.
Yeah, I can tell that I'm learning that through the whole training, and it's very hard. It's hard to learn and practice.
How long have you been judging yourself in your life?
42 years, no, 40 years. Okay. And yeah.
But that's just got a deeper, deeper imprint, right, than compassion and understanding and going, oh, I wonder why this is happening, right?
Mm. Yes. Thank you.
So you're unlearning that process. Beautiful. Yeah.
Yes.
It's and that's beautiful. What this dream helps you to do, right?
Exactly. Yes.
We're celebrating you, Evelyn Hill. Beautiful dream. Yes.
Thank you.
So fun. So fun. Okay, Jamie.
Okay, my goal is consistent $10,000 months by the end of next year. And I will feel excited because it will give me the freedom to be full-time on my business and not have to work for anyone and move to LA and et cetera, things that cost money. I will also feel pressure and fear that it might go away, pressure to do more and like keep bigger, and fear that it'll go away.
Well, and so it's interesting, isn't it? I think it's always really courageous when we put numbers, specifics around our goals, because it can go two ways. Like, I really want you all to see that if you do have a goal that has a specific number attached to it, that's neutral information, right? It's just, it's 120 K a year or 10K months and what, however that works. It's what you, how you choose to interpret that, that it can become either a motivating tool, right? Like, I can't wait for this to happen. I'm putting together a strategy and that's the target I've got. Or it can be a weapon, right? It's a pass-fail criteria. And if I haven't hit that, then something's gone wrong. So it's really useful to just be mindful of where we might be getting caught up in the numbers as a non-neutral tool, right? Where it actually becomes a way of setting the bar so high that we kind of make it really hard to start with, right? And again, there'll be really good reasons why this isn't the current reality. And so there's going to be a process of exploring what that is, right? It's also interesting because one of the things I heard you say, Jamie, is this will allow me to do this, right? Is that sometimes what can happen is our main goal becomes the dependent on a whole lot of other goals. And it's just really good to pay attention to that, because it may be that you're then putting additional pressure, and you already called that out, right? That if I don't do this, everything else is depending on it. It's the same if your goal is depending on other people, right? It's like if I want to sell this many coaching places, or if I need to have people buy my, you know, my offers. Part of our job is to look at what's my role here, right? So this isn't about like manifesting. It's about being really clear. This is a goal, and this is the action I'm prepared to take, and stuff's going to come up, and I'm going to be with that. So it's just something to kind of really keep clear in your mind. It is neutral information that this is the income that I'm going for. It's what I make it mean if I do or don't make that. That really matters. That's how we really support ourselves in the process. But I think it's so cool, like so courageous to like put a number on it. Like that's ballsy, right? It's good.
And I mean, there's other ways I could make those other things happen. They're not acceptable. So this is the way I want to make those things happen, I guess is how I would.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, we are celebrating you, Jamie. Amazing. Yay. 10K months. So fun. Okay. Kate Ingram. Can you unmute? There we go.
Okay.
Oh, I still can't hear you. Can anyone else hear Kate?
Hello.
Here we go. Yes, can hear you now.
Okay. Hi. Well, I wanted to say my goal was to make a certain figure per month, but that wasn't really where my energy was. So this is an intention, I think, rather than a goal. My intention is to get out of emotional limbo in my relationship.
Nice.
Well, it doesn't feel nice.
brave.
What else was I to say about that?
That's all you need to say if you want to.
I think that's all I want to say.
That's perfect. Yeah, we're honoring that for you, Kate. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Giving you a Zoom applause. Okay. Catherine Morgan.
Hiya.
Hi.
So I nearly went for do lots of wild camping and walking, but then I thought, no, I don't need to, but it'd be better if I focus maybe on the coaching. So my goal or intention for the next weeks is to clearly decide the offering of my coaching work and to share it in a professional way that feels motivating, true, and manageable to me.
How'd that feel to say?
Yeah, good. A little bit fearful, but good.
Yeah. I'm curious to know, what does that expand for you, do you think? What gets expanded if you achieve that?
Lots. Yeah. I think I just feel like at a point where I just feel I need that breadth of growth. Mm-hmm. From lots of reasons, self-esteem, variety. Yeah, just because I'm enjoying growth, lots of different reasons. So it feels really timely. And I think, you know, I basically think I can be helpful to community, to people, and it could just help me a lot as well, you know? Yeah,
amazing. We're celebrating you, Catherine. So fun. Yay. Cool. And Adrian. Hello. Can you unmute yourself, love?
Yes. Okay. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, good. I was like, I'm going to go last. I just know it.
You're kind of in the center for me.
Because on my screen, I'm right beside you. So I was like, I'm going to go first or last, but it's okay.
Oh, okay.
um, So my dream was to create a sustainable coaching business that allows me to quit working as a VA within the next 12 months. I wanted to write 12 to 18, but then I was like, no, let's go for the lower number. But I know in my head, I'm giving my space, myself space for 18. Yeah. And
yeah. Amazing. How does it feel to say it out loud?
I'm a lot like others where I feel really frustrated because that's been my goal for a long, long time. And it's not, so I'm frustrated with myself for not having accomplished it yet. But then I also feel very inspired by the coursework we've been doing here. So it feels more attainable in some ways too, because I finally feel like I know who I am as a coach rather than listening to so many other people say, but you should be doing this and you should be doing that. And so I feel closer to that goal, but still really aware of the doubt that I have that's gotten me to this point.
I love the way you kind of said it very matter-of-factly, Adrian. Like it feels like there's an ownership that you're kind of claiming this for yourself.
Oh yeah. I know that the only reason I'm here is my fault. Well, let's say not fault, but my own actions have brought me here. And it's my own actions that will take me from here, one direction or the other. I can stay where I'm at or I can move forward. So
so great. I love this. All these coaching practices coming to life. Amazing.
I will pause myself too.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing, Adrian. That's beautiful. Yeah, cool. So what I would just want you to notice is how like courageous these goals actually are, right? Some of them, it sounds like they're new to you. Others are quite, maybe have been kind of floating around in the back of your mind as something that you should have done by now, or that you have wanted to do for a while. May have been the first time you've said it out loud, or it may be something you're sick to death of hearing yourself say you're going to do. There's no right way, right? It's all good. So what I want you to do now is to spend 5 minutes, like we're just going to blast through this. I want you to just write down any actions that you know you're going to need to take to bring this goal to life. It won't be all of them, right? But just jot down what are the things that you know you're going to need to do. Notice that if you get stuck or if you feel like there's brain fog creeping in. For those of you who have a goal that feels very familiar to you and you have some sense of frustration that you haven't achieved it, think about why you haven't achieved it. What might have got in the way in the past? Because part of this, of achieving it this time, is going to mean moving through those past obstacles. Okay, so hopefully what you're getting now is a task list is forming, right? What you also need to add on to this are things like how you want to support yourself through the beliefs that would help you, like the helpful beliefs that would be supportive. I also want you to think about the obstacles that are likely to come up. So what are the challenges that that you might face along the way? What is likely to be the thing that encourages you to not follow through? How do you tend to behave, or what do you tend to do when you want to quit? And what other options do you have now that you've come to the business end of this program? What else can you do? So for every obstacle that you name, you want to give yourself some choices for how you can support yourself when that comes up. You might just want to choose one or two now just to jot down some options. And then you can take that away to kind of expand on. Okay, so now you've got a pretty good idea of your goal, right? You've got a list of actions that are starting to form for the kind of plan that you'd need to make to bring this to life. And you may find that this is in a list that you want to keep on expanding with. You may find as you go away tonight, you think, actually, that's something I need to rephrase, like the goal needs rephrasing and I need to add in a whole lot of other actions. It's totally fine, right? This is an imperfect process. So don't feel like I've got to get it right first time. But what you want to get to is a pretty exhaustive for now list of all the things you're going to need to do to make this dream something that is now part of your life. Okay. And part of that is going to be about plotting those actions on your doable plan. On your courage-based plan. So this is what that looks like. Okay. And it's, I know it's slightly breast-like that feedback has been received, but the idea is that you, and you can do this on a wall. Like I really love to sort of cover like four or five bits of A3 paper and then do it with post-it notes. But you can just do this in a notebook. Just make it work for you. Don't be hamstrung by the way you do this. But what you want to do is take all of the actions that you've documented and add them to your plan that does not look like a straight line, right? And you want to categorize your actions into these four categories. Is it doable? So could you just quite easily do this today without thinking too hard about it, without any real resistance? Well, is it easy? Is it the kind of task that you could do? You sort of know what to do, but maybe you have a bit of resistance to it, or you're not quite sure how you're going to go about it. Are you uncertain about it? I.e. you don't really know what to do or how to do it, or you've got quite a bit of resistance to it, right? Does it feel quite risky? It's sort of like, I've got no freaking idea how to even start, right? So categorize all of your tasks. And then you start in the doable circle, right? So you want to have probably half a dozen in there to start with. Like do yourself a favor and create half a dozen in there. These should be just the easiest doable things that over the next couple of weeks. And I would suggest that you want to do this. You want to do these tasks first and soon, right? So you create a doable list and you reward yourself once you've completed them. I always encourage clients to try and get like, for the first couple of weeks, 2 to 3 doable tasks per week. Okay. If you can't find 6 doable tasks in your plan, you need to break down another task into its constituent parts so that the first couple of things are doable. Right. So, for example, if one of the tasks is I need to talk to my current boss in my day job and ask to go down to 4 days a week, and you may feel kind of uncertain about that, or it may feel sort of easy, but it's got a bit of resistance to it, then to break that down, it would be set a time in your boss's diary for a month's time. It's doable task number one, right? Doable task number two is to create a bit of a script for yourself around what you're going to say. Then there might be something that feels sort of easy rather than doable, so it's got a little bit of resistance to it. How am I going to prepare myself for all possible outcomes, right? So come up with 3 or 4 different helpful beliefs or helpful ways to process that ahead of time, right? So you kind of get into that rhythm of creating the most easiest way to tackle these tasks in the easiest way possible for you. Okay, but you want to start with the doable tasks. Steph's question about consistent, doing things consistently. So again, you put that into your plan. So if there is anything about that feels uncertain or risky, break it down. Right? It might be that the first task is to just make the list of the people. Are they warm to you, or are they cold completely, right? And so you kind of order it in a way that feels good to you. It may be that reaching out to 5 people a week, it's like, I'm going to start with that and then notice how resistant I feel. And maybe this week it'll be 3, and maybe next week it'll be 6. But the idea is that you're kind of paying attention to how courageous you feel. Yeah. Helpful beliefs are really supportive for when your obstacles and setbacks come up. So I want you to put obstacles and setbacks on the plan. Right, so it could be that you've got something out here or in uncertain. Usually that's where we put our obstacles and setbacks, but not as a general rule, just as a kind of a guideline. You would put them in there. So maybe there's something like a setback is you call 5 people and you get rejections from all of them. Right, so what you want to add into that setback are, what are your choices when that happens? Right, what do you want to tell yourself while you're feeling relatively neutral, right, where it's not really charged or you're not sitting in that place of rejection? What does your current self want to tell your future self who is in that place about what to do next? Maybe it is take the afternoon off and start again tomorrow. Come up with a couple of doable tasks that you can do to maintain momentum when you're not feeling like it. Right? So add into the plan both the actions, but also the strategies for overcoming obstacles, or how you want to support yourself when you experience setbacks. And inevitably, those things are going to come up and they're going to feel crappy. And the idea is that that's when you reach out for help, right? So one of your strategies should always be, you know, find a coach to talk to about this. Right? How can I get some support? I kind of find as well, like, sometimes the levels of support will decrease over time. Like now, if that sort of thing happens where I just think, oh, I just need a hug, I'll be all right, I'll be okay. Like, it's not personal anymore. I don't care, you know? So you kind of find, what you'll find is that what felt uncertain right now at the start, over time starts to become more easy, starts to become a bit more doable, because alongside the tasks that you are just getting on with, you are also creating momentum and evidence that this is now something that you are actually bringing to life, right? And so the more you do that, the more your self-concept is expanding along the way. So your self-concept doesn't wait until achievement of goal to be in that space. It's happening as soon as you decide to start, right? Yes, it's a great question. Clients are going to feel really discouraged or nervous about the things in the outer circles. And that's why we always start in the middle. So one of the things that you can get coached on is the protective beliefs that come up. Another thing you can get coached on is how to delineate a particular task into more doable tasks, right? So you divide it out into the most doable things. I once worked with a client who didn't know what she wanted, and one of the first doable tasks was to create a vision board where she just got to play, and she couldn't even do that. So we took this out to, the only thing you need to do today is buy yourself some pens and paper on Amazon. They get delivered to your house. You don't even have to go anywhere, right? And she was like, oh, but I just don't know what I'm going to be unleashing, right? That was the thing. If I take the first step, I don't know who I'm going to be, right? And so the idea is that you want to kind of help your clients to take away some of the mystique and power that we'll give to specific tasks, right? It's not about whether they go well or not. It's about how we interpret them. Right? It's about what's underneath them that's holding us back. So for those of you who named a goal that is something that you've either come close to but not achieved, or something that's been sitting with you for a while, there are going to be setbacks and obstacles there that you already feel quite familiar with, and you may have a bit of a blind spot about, right? You may not kind of know what is holding you back from either taking an action step or from making progress. And so that's the kind of thing that you want to take to your practice pod to get some coaching on. Right? Why can't I move past this? Right? And we'll just pick it apart, figure it out. So does everyone kind of feel kind of clear about this? Yeah? That we're taking this goal, creating a big long action list that includes, you know, strategies for obstacles and setbacks. That includes the kinds of things that we want to do to support ourselves when those things inevitably come up. A list of helpful beliefs so that, you know, when your self-doubt arises, you can remind yourself, how do I want to do this? What's the smallest, most doable experiment I can take right now to bring that protective belief into being? Right? So you're kind of adding in to some of the tools that we've used in the past. And when you get really stuck, you seek help, you seek support, right? So you plan for things to go wrong and you seek out support when they do, and you can't move any further on your own. So the homework for next week is to complete your courage-based plan, right? For a goal that is important to you. It can be this goal, or it can be something that you want to just move ahead with. Once you've gone and read through the module material again, and then really thought about how you're going to do this, get coached on any setbacks and challenges. This is the really important part, right? This is where that supportive accountability comes up. But to support yourself, look at the module material around the kinds of things that tend to happen, right? Think about what's the first obstacle likely to be. How might your underfunctioning resistance show up, right? So the kind of resistance that makes you want to get brain fog and go into kind of passive behaviors, or sit there waiting, right? Those underfunctioning type 6 P's, which are all about, passivity. I'm just trying to remember. Passive behaviors. What else is there? Oh my goodness, I can't even remember them. I know what the other ones are. The overfunctioning ones are procrastination and perfectionism, right? And people pleasing. When we're taking lots and lots of actions to try and distract ourselves from the things that we actually want to do. The underfunctioning will be, passive behaviors, standing on the sideline, that kind of thing. The bystander and the scapegoat. Notice how many of your tasks that you've got on your plan are passive, right? So there are things that are all about reading about where you want to go, or learning about marketing rather than doing it, right? Anything that doesn't involve your action or that stirs up your self-doubt is likely to be a passive task. So I sort of separate these into passive action and meaningful action. And meaningful action is probably going to have some risk attached to it. It's totally cool to have passive tasks or passive actions on your plan, but you want to just watch is how much of the plan is passive, right? How much of it is about consuming rather than creating. Okay. So the idea is that you'll take these task list as a start point. Create your courage-based plan and start taking action on it so that you get to see what happens, right? When your self-doubt gets a bit stirred up, you get to see what it's like, what it's going to be like for your clients, right? Where they may get a bit hamstrung by what's going on. Kate, this is an excellent question. Do you move the actions around over time as things become less risky? Absolutely. So this becomes a living, breathing plan that reflects reality, right? So you can add more tasks to it. You can take them away. I always like to have a kind of stack on the side of tasks that have been completed. You're so welcome, Sal. Go well. So I like to have a stack of tasks on the side that have been completed so I can see what I've already done. And then you can move things around. Like you may even want to have like a kind of weekly or fortnightly check-in. See you, Kate. To kind of readjust, like how is your courage growing? What is feeling less sensitive for you? And sometimes this can just be super fun, particularly if you're putting a lot of time into creating your goal. Like some of these are over 12 months, but you may have periods where you're really in this, right? And you're taking a lot of action on your goal, or you have periods where this is really taking up a lot of your time. So it can be quite fun to have these sort of weekly or fortnightly check-ins around what's going on. For those of you who do have like quite long-term goals, like 12-month goals, what you may want to do is divide those up into quarters or monthly goals. Right, so you can have a kind of like check-in along the way. And that just helps you to see, you know, am I on track? If I'm not, why am I not on track? What do I want to do about that? But you're always then in choice around what you're doing. Alrighty. So what I'm hoping is that you are feeling kind of inspired and excited about your goals, that you feel ready to start making some actions. See you, Brunhard, take care. And that you are kind of ready to put this into a plan and start really taking action on it. Knowing it's going to be imperfect, non-linear, and self-doubt will come up. And you'll probably want to quit 100 times. You may experience some emotions that feel really uncomfortable, and nothing's gone wrong. Nothing's gone wrong. Yes, Steph.
Just quickly, I'm curious, do you work with clients sometimes on more than one goal? Like, would they have multiples of these circles, do you think? Like if they had a health goal and a business goal, and I'm just curious what that looks like.
What happens in your brain when you think about that?
Well, I mean, part of me is like, well, it's, you know, that's challenging to do a lot of those things. But I also know like people are humans. And as I'm thinking about this, like I will probably have multiple goals. I don't know. I just haven't thought about it before. Just thought about it now.
What I tend to do is encourage clients to have no more than two or three. Mm-hmm. Partly because what can happen is, oh, I've got shiny object syndrome. Right? Or I can't do this one, so I'm going to concentrate on the other. And what ends up is you kind of half-ass all of them.
Yeah.
So to my mind, the whole purpose of this is to expand the client's self-concept, right? You can be the person who achieves this goal. So you want to give them the opportunity to do that. It's like a coach who has 14 offers. Right? I always just think, just have one, just sell one simple offer. Right? Because if you can't sell one simple offer, you're never going to be able to sell six or three or seven, right? Like you just won't be able to.
Well, it sounds like an opportunity to have a self-doubt conversation with them about like, well, why do you want six goals? It's what's the resistance to having one or two?
And I would also say, like, for a lot of clients with self-doubt, even the thought of one can be a little bit overwhelming if they don't have a very good relationship with goals. Mm-hmm. But for folks who have a real, like, over-functioning tendency, right? Like they're overworking, they've got maybe a perfectionism type streak in there, the kind of conductor type folks, or reformers with the archetypes, they will tend to want to rebel against anything like this. And part of that is about perfectionism, right? I can't do it right, so I'm not going to do it at all. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to get in my own way so I can, you know, have the excuse that I had all of these goals and that was why I didn't do it. So I always encourage people to just set one, even if they just do that one goal for 30 days, you can always add in another one, right? But don't set yourself up to fail. Right? And then the purpose is, can I do this thing? Can I just keep this one promise to myself? Right? And I think, you know, that's one of the other things that can happen with tasks where you or actions where it feels like everything is about regular, you know, doing the same thing every week. It's like, just start off with the most doable change that you need to make. And then you can always add things in later. Right? But one of the things that we have in our culture is it's all or nothing.
Thank you for that answer. I have a call in 1 minute, so I'm going to go, but I appreciate it.
Okay, everyone. Well, thank you so much for your time. This was really fun. I'm so excited for your coaching practices and all the cash you're going to make and all the good you're going to create in the world. It's very, very cool. The world's on fire. It's amazing to be doing good things in it, right? Yeah. Okay, lovely people. Take care of yourselves. Ask for help in the forum. Don't be shy about that. Self-doubt's going to come up, so you may as well feel supported while you're moving through that. Okay. All right, loves, take care, and I will see you next week for the Q&A. Okay, see you. Bye. Bye-bye.